Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two, it's Albrecht and Kester here on this Friday, a very, very fun Friday. Congratulations to Doug for winning our iced tea and free ring coffee giveaway from HTO. Enjoy that on us each and every day here on Sports Daily. That IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. You've got Shocker Baseball coming up today a little later on the network here. But we're talking NFL draft. We're talking college basketball, Tommy, because we have transfer portal news times two here. So the Ryland Griffin addition to KU, as expected, happens. We'll start there, and then we'll get into K-State's addition that was made, the announcement here just in the last handful of minutes or so. Ryland Griffin comes in. We've talked about him. Alabama, good score, great shooter, around 40%. That's what they need. Proven. They liked him coming out of high school. He gives and fills up possibly KU scholarships if Johnny Furphy does or doesn't come back, and assuming Hunter Dickinson, which, by the way, the draft, the deadline on the draft thing for Hunter Dickinson is tomorrow night. So I don't know what the hell's taking so long here.
He's going to announce. It's going to be fine.
It's weird.
He was waiting on Griffin. He was waiting on this news. He's going to be the final piece of the puzzle, the final cog in the machine. It's going to be fine.
That's not going to have the same.
If
that's really the mindset, that's not going to have the same impact he thinks it will, because everybody already thinks he's coming back anyway. Just get this over with. What are we doing here? But let's just, I'm with you. I think he will too, assuming he does. KU could be done, Tommy. I mean, they lost one of their freshmen, which I missed that news. I didn't even see that happen. But they could be done because they still have to take a scholarship penalty at some point. So if Furphy doesn't come back, Griffin's there, Dickinson comes back, they'd be at 12. They can just be at 12 and be done with that, you know, restriction. And I think that's probably what they would do, because now you're looking at, you know, really, I mean, let's be real. Like, you're looking at like 10 viable players here, right? Like, you're fine without taking another player on scholarship this year.
I don't think they're done. I think they might have room for one more. And I just say that because I know that there's, you know, still the scholarship situation and everything. But really, the biggest thing outside of shooting that the Jayhawks were lacking this last season was depth. So you can never have enough of it. And I know that there is at least one other player. There might be a couple more, but there's one other player that they've been targeting, and that's Kobe Brea. And he is, I think he's the Dayton kid. And I know that he's got five schools that he's considering. I saw this report earlier today. All five of them are blue bloods. They're the five main blue bloods: UConn, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas. He's considering all five of them. So that could be a potential on the table. I don't know how likely it is at this point, but I do think that they may try to bring in one more player. This Ryland Griffin news, while I think it's expected, I don't think it can be overstated how important it is, because he brings length and he brings shooting and a solid defensive frame to the Jayhawks. You know, I think that knowing that they've been able to land Griffin, AJ Storr, Zeke Mayo, who may ultimately be coming off the bench and kind of filling that sharpshooter off the bench role, and then a guy like Riley Kugel, who can provide athleticism off the bench. All of that, I mean, this is absolutely, in my opinion, a big-time portal win this offseason for Bill Self.
Well, sure it is. He's going to win every portal year. He's just got to get it right. Mayo will be right now. He'd be the backup point guard, too, don't you think? I mean, there's nobody else unless I'm forgetting somebody. Kobe Brea, the only thing about that is Kobe Brea and Riley Griffin are kind of the same, right? They'd be kind of the same. They're big guards that can really shoot, and Brea shot 50% from three last year. But I wonder if they were on Brea until Griffin signs, and then they don't need to be on Brea anymore. They're going to have, I mean, right now we're looking at, with the return of El Marco and McDowell, and they're already 8 or 9 deep. And then they have the two other freshmen coming in. I'm not sure. And I know it seems sacrilegious after last year. I feel like they're probably good on depth now. I feel like they're probably okay there. They can always add more. They can always add more. Sure, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know that they need to, if they're going to have to eat that scholarship at some point anyway, because at some point next year, you're not going to have Dickinson. You're not going to have Adams. You're not going to have DeJuan Harris. You may need the extra scholarship, and you may rather take it now than later. You know what I mean? Like, it may be more beneficial to eat it this year than it would be next year.
What I do think about the way that they've been able to go get these transfer portal players during this offseason is that it does take pressure, I think, off of KJ Adams a little bit to produce at a high level. I think they're not going to take the starting position, I don't think, away from KJ Adams, but I don't think they're going to ask him to play as many minutes as he played last season or even the season before. I wouldn't be surprised to potentially see a lineup that is DeJuan Harris, Zeke Mayo at the two, Rylan Griffin at the three, AJ Storr at the four, and Hunter Dickinson, assuming he can, the five. So
kind of
that's
four around one.
That's kind of, yeah, the four wing, you know, four outside,
they've
one.
I mean, it's in Bill Self's wheelhouse for sure.
That's kind of something that I could see, you know, from a shooting perspective, something that they would lean on. That probably won't be the starting lineup. I mean, KJ Adams, I don't know if you can take him out of the starting lineup, but I do think that's a viable lineup for the Jayhawks.
Well, it's just they've got to either figure out one of two things, figure out how to successfully use Adams and Dickinson at the same time, which has been hard, or, and here's what I really hope happens, KJ Adams develops a 3-point shot this offseason. Like, that's his focus. That's what he does.
I don't think so.
You need to be at what? You need to be able to hit one a game, take two, maybe. Just kind of keep that real, because he can defend the three, I think. I don't think that's a problem. It's just, can he play that position offensively? I don't know. KJ Adams is so good that it's hard to imagine him coming out, but the starting lineup doesn't matter. It's just, how many minutes do you play? We'll see. We got to get the announcement from Dickinson at some point here. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know why this is taking until the deadline of the draft.
Happen. It's fine.
It's not that it's fine. I don't care if it's fine. I don't understand the point of it. Like, what's the point of this? Come on now.
Does it matter?
Be done with this.
Like, I feel like you're, like, I
it
don't
does.
Think it's that big of a deal.
It does when you're trying to put a roster together. I mean, the shadow of a doubt's not important.
We talked about it earlier this week. Don't you think that Bill Self knows one way or another what Hunter Dickinson is doing? I think he does, and I think he's known for a long time.
I think he thinks he knows, but until it's done, it's
he
not
knows.
Done.
He knows. He knows, because otherwise he would have been targeting a big in the portal, and he hasn't done that at all. At all. There hasn't been a single big man that has been linked to Kansas in a large way that could be a Hunter Dickinson replacement next season that the Jayhawks have talked to, had serious interest in. And if there is, I haven't seen it. So I just don't, think that there's any concern here. Bill Self and Hunter Dickinson have known what they're doing for the last few months. I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah, we'll know by Monday. I think he's coming back too. I just am annoyed that it's taking this long. That's all. All right. So the other one that is falling into our laps here this morning, you said it was Jeff Goodman reporting. Brendan Housen is coming from Villanova to K-State. So this one's interesting for me because as soon as you said that name, or you sent me that name, I'm like, I think that's the kid from Amarillo who was a wildly successful high school basketball player and ended up at Villanova, which was really cool. But, like, we're talking, Tommy, the level of shooter. Now, he's, you know, Rylan Griffin's, like, you know, athletically ahead, but it's a 6'4 guard who can shoot what, you know, Villanova's coach called one of the best shooters they've ever had at Villanova, right? He had, like, a video where he made something like 48 straight corner threes. And I think the rumor was that it was more than that, but the video ran out. And so a really, really high-level shooter, right? And I don't know what else he'll be able to do, but if that's your skill set, we know in college basketball, that's a pretty dang good skill set to have and a pretty handy one for coaches to have too. And he's 6'4". You know, you coach up a little defense there and you're in good shape, but this feels like a really good get for Jerome Tang.
Yeah, I think it is. And from a shooting perspective, that's something that the Wildcats need. And I think that they have filled that need, you know, in a big way, I think, with this signing of Brendan Housen. And, you know, I saw just the other day that Arthur Kaluma announcing for the NBA draft. Of course, they won't have Tyler Perry next year. You know, all the different other changes of players leaving, you know, the program. There was a need for quality and consistent shooting, especially from the outside. And it looks like that's what Brendan Housen can do. I don't know if it was a situation where maybe he wasn't, you know, utilized quite in the way that he should have been at Villanova or just kind of growing into that system or whatever, but I wouldn't let the stats fool you. I think Housen is a really good player from what I've been able to read up about him just in, you know, the last little while. So regardless, you know, this is something that, you know, Jerome Tang needed. And I think that from an optics point of view, from an outsider looking in, I think it's important that you're able to get not only quality transfers, but quality transfers from, you know, pretty big named programs, and Villanova historically has been one of them. And so I do like this move. I think that it's important. I don't think that Jerome Tang is anywhere close to being done. I don't think
no.
In the transfer portal, but I do think that it's been kind of quiet recently over the last week or so, maybe even a little bit longer than that. I think this is an important next step in the way that Jerome Tang is crafting and constructing this roster for next year.
I mean, there are a lot of games where Housen took 8 to 10 threes. Like he shoots a lot. It's a thing he does, and he does it at a pretty high clip. That's, you know, that is a role that they needed real bad last year because Perry didn't quite do it. And so K-State and
who do they have to do it on the roster right now for next season? I mean, I don't think they really do.
Correct. And it is like, it's the kind of move that KU tried to make last year, maybe with Timberlake, but it's you're at a much higher profile athlete, right? Because he's coming over from Villanova. And so it makes sense. I think K-State fans will love him from everything I've heard about, you know, this kid. And look, he was playing in Amarillo far after I was there, but I've talked to other people that are working there now, and they're just like, they're really excited, A, to have him back in the Big 12 and get a chance to see him play a little more often. But it feels like a really nice fit. I had no idea he was in the portal. And I had really kind of stopped following tabs on him. I just knew what kind of high school player he was. And here you go. A great shooter coming into K-State. I like it. I think it's a good fit because they're going to have the athletes. They're going to have all that stuff coming in as freshmen and everywhere else. But, you know, when I say K-State has a big splash left in them, this isn't the big splash I'm thinking about, but it's a really handy, nice addition. And the type of player who could really elevate things in the right situation, right? If you can become a great shooter like that and you go play for a coach like Tang, who has really, you know, done well developing these players, it's a good fit. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited for both of them. You know, two shooters coming into teams here that we follow that both need shooters, and both of them get those shooters today. What I'm curious about with Rylan Griffin is his role in the starting lineup. 12 points at Alabama, the way that program's rolling right now, you'd think so. And certainly Storr is. So that's five. If it's Adams, you know, if it's Adams, Harris, and Dickinson, that's five. That means Mayo doesn't start. That means the Florida kid doesn't start.
Riley Kugel.
That means none of the, you know, now sophomores start and none of the incoming freshmen start. That's five. That's what I mean. So you've got now, you've got the two sophomores, you've got the two freshmen, and you've got the other two transfers in Mayo and Kugel. That's six off the bench. Six already. And who's the 12th player then? Clements, I guess. Is it Clements?
Yeah, it'd be Clements.
So I just think it might be advantageous for KU. Again, assuming Furphy does not come back, because that's still a possibility. And at that point, they would just take him and then they'd use the scholarship. I think if you're and I like the kid out of Dayton, don't get me wrong. But I think for KU in the big picture, they might be better off just eating the scholarship and getting that behind them. I think with six viable and potentially seven, if Furphy came back, like that's enough off the bench for me. Because you don't have to have a true backup, right, to Dickinson because you have Adams there. And what I wonder is, like, if you're really, really in a pinch, is Store able to play there? But bringing in a sharpshooter from Dayton doesn't help the only thing you need left, which is depth in the post. They don't need another wing.
Well, they've got, you know, Flory Badunga as the incoming freshman coming in that is highly touted in the post. And so, you know, but he's somebody that I think he could play some minutes though. I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, believer, at least in the Jayhawks program, of starting a freshman right away. And that's not Dickinson is there. I don't really, you know, that's not going to happen regardless. But I'm not opposed to freshmen getting quality minutes and being, you know, backups and that sort of thing. And I think that's where, you know, that depth in the post comes from. I do think, and this has been surprising, really the only surprising thing in the portal so far this offseason isn't even the delay in his announcement. It's that both Elmarco Jackson and Jamari McDowell chose to stay at Kansas.
I thought
one of them would go so far, and maybe they will. Maybe they, you know, will be a late addition to the portal. But I think by all accounts, both of them, at least if I'm projecting out the lineup and the rotations and things like that, I've got Jackson and McDowell, both of them 10th, 11th out of the 12, you know? And I think it's interesting because Jackson started a handful of games last year and McDowell was a key contributor. And I use that term loosely off the bench because they didn't have anybody else, you know? And so you're looking at probably less playing time for both of those guys next season. I'm surprised that either one of them stuck around. I'm even more surprised that both of them are still there.
If those two guys end up sticking around, and that's the other thing too, maybe that's where you go after one of these other guys. But if those two stick around, that's where KU was like in the chess mode while most others are in checkers, because what it tells you is A, Bill Self just has such a grasp on this and a relationship with his players to have those guys willing to stick it out, because he continues to have guys be willing to play out much longer college careers than most schools have, and B, they're way ahead in the NIL. Because the other reason that you could see that is because there still may not be a better ability to earn than for those guys to sit there and be the 11th, 10th, and 11th guys in a rotation. I mean, you know, that's what's wild about it. So if KU's got the ability to do that, that's pretty crazy. And I don't know what the chances are that both of those guys stay. I just don't know why they wouldn't have already entered the portal, right? None of this is going to be a secret to them. Bill Self's not going to keep his plans from them. I would imagine they're very honest conversations. Like, guys, we're still looking for players in the portal. And let's get out here and earn it. Stick around. You'll be great Jayhawks by the time you're juniors and seniors. You're going to make plenty of money through the NIL. Just stick around and, you know, compete for a spot this year. And if in today's world, if you can get players to do that, man, that's just crazy to me. Because those two guys, both of them, could go somewhere and be really good players and get a ton of minutes. I like the upside of both of those players. I do. You know, McDowell, there was a time McDowell this year, early in the year, I was like, man, McDowell's going to be the dude. And it ended up being Furphy. But they're both in good shape. big time. Love both of these additions for KU and K-State today. So there's your college basketball. We can touch on that. You can call in, leave your comments on the IHOP hotline. We've got a little argument here on the video stream. JB, and you showed this one. I'll show it one more time. Saying that KU fans talk too much trash on Hunter. Would you come back to that? Well, he will, because he's going to get paid. But Ken says baloney. Dickinson got a ton of love for the fans. Yeah, he did. He'll be there. It makes no sense to me why this needs to be a come down to the deadline type of a thing. We all know you're not going to the NBA. Like, the NBA doesn't want you yet. You're not ready for that yet. So what are we waiting for? Like, come be the superstar in Lawrence, Kansas, that you are and can be. And everybody will love it. We don't need the drama there. Let's go.
There's no drama. You're manufacturing drama. There's no drama.
Manufacturing? No, I'm not. He hasn't signed yet. He hasn't committed yet.
There's no drama to it. It's just like, it is what it is, and we just, like, we wait. Like, there's not been any sort of indication that it's not going to happen. So why? It's a non-story at this point.
It's a story until he signs. It was a non-story with Chris Jones until he held out, right? Just get it done. 869-1240. We'll come back. We'll go back to the NFL draft a little bit here. Day two. What are we doing now moving forward? Anything else in round one that was curious? There's one other thing, I think, that indicates a pretty substantial move to be made. We'll talk about that next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Let's go back to the NFL draft, round one. We've touched on it. One other thing I do think may indicate a large move coming would be Ricky Pearsall from Florida going to the Niners, Tommy. Kind of been some reporting. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk, who's up against a contract, has been rumored for trades for a while. Now Debo is being rumored for some trades, too. And they take Pearsall, and yeah, they could use all three of those guys, certainly. But it kind of feels like a move that would indicate they are ready to move away from one of these receivers. And it makes me wonder which one. They would both be really interesting. I love both of those receivers. But now if it's open season for one of those two guys, that screams Bills to me. Tommy, screams Bills, who've been trying to maybe acquire some picks, who could then use those picks and go trade for one of those players.
Yeah, I think so. I wonder what kind of return the Niners would get from the Bills to bring in, whether it's Debo or, you know, Ayuk. And I wonder about that because, you know, the Bills, I know they've kind of been able to bring in, some added draft capital with the trades that they made. I know that They improved their spots later in the draft with the trade with Kansas City. And then I think that they ended up didn't they get an additional draft pick with the trade with the Panthers trading out of the number 32 spot? I think.
Yeah. I don't know what got in that trade, but they would have gotten something, of course.
I think they've improved at least the number of picks, or at least the position of the picks with the trades they made. I still don't like the fact that they did that. But you could, I think, maybe justify a trade today for one of those wide receivers with the Niners and the Bills. I'm just not sure, as far as like current players that are on that roster, who really the Niners would have a lot of interest in return to give up one of those two wide receivers.
It would be picks, because they feel like they're going to lose at least Ayuk anyway. It's kind of like when you have a baseball trade, is what it feels like to me. Like, we know we're going to lose this player or one of them. We can't afford to have them both. We've known that. It's very similar to what the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill. It's interesting that it didn't come earlier in the draft, and maybe they just wanted to make sure they could get a receiver they liked moving forward. But, I mean, if I'm the Bills, I would be thrilled to have either of these receivers, number one. I love Brandon Ayuk, and with Josh Allen, I think either one of them are going to continue to be successful. I also don't think either one of them in a trade would require a first-round pick. You know, the Chiefs getting Tyreek Hill and all the picks that they got for him was – I think that's an outlier. I think it's far more likely that you'll see like second round picks or third round picks, a multitude of picks. It'll be a big haul for whoever does it. But I do think with that pick, we could have a big headline-making trade because I just don't – I can't imagine the Niners will roll with all three of those guys, with especially with Ayuk. Ayuk really wants his contract. He's trying to play nice, but that's going to end at some point. I think we're seeing it, and it would – it's a total guess on the Bills thing, but it would make more sense as to why the Bills are trying to acquire picks if maybe there is a receiver somewhere they're looking at going and trading for. I also think with the Bills, because you brought them up and we haven't really dug into them yet, I think they're telling us they're going to be in rebuild mode to some degree. You know, not just because they traded away Steph Diggs and did all that stuff, but because they're going to have to be at some point, right? Like it's going to have to happen at some point. And maybe they're just like, you know what? Let's get it over with. What'd they get for Diggs next year? A second, I think it was the headline part of that. So, I mean, just use that as an example of what that kind of player is going to bring. And if Steph Diggs brings a second in year two, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think a two is the asking price for Debo or Ayuk. Debo's probably a little bit more expensive, but...
Yeah, but I think that the counter to that is when you know that you've got your pick, you know, where it's at, and maybe they just didn't scout these guys this way, but when you've got your pick in the first round and you know you're in rebuild mode and there are really talented, I'm just looking at wide receivers, really talented wide receivers that are right there for you, you know, ripe for the picking, you trade once, then you trade twice completely out of the first round. I know they only moved one spot back, but still you don't get a day one pick and you don't have Steph Diggs anymore. You don't have Gabe Davis anymore. What's going to be better if you're rebuilding in a long-term mode, why wouldn't you draft a first round receiver with the thought that you can have that person in place for a number of years rather than spending more money on a veteran wide receiver that you're going to have to sign or trade for?
A couple of things I would say is that three receivers have fallen and they will be in a pretty good position to get one of them. So maybe they just happen to like Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, or Xavier Leggett. All guys who had
Leggett
been,
was taken.
Know,
Leggett was taken with number 32.
That's right. He was the last pick. Okay, so really then it's just McConkey and Mitchell, who are both guys who had been, you know, rumored to be in that first round range. Maybe you liked, and maybe they did like Leggett though, right? And when they traded down, knowing that they're going to get, you know, somebody there. That's one reason they would do it. Yeah, I don't think, let me clarify, I don't think they're both rebuilding and in the market for Ayuk and Diggs. I mean, Ayuk and Debo. I just think both are possibilities for why they would do what they're doing. And either way, like if they're rebuilding and they like these other receivers more, you're just trying to stockpile picks. That's fine. That would be what that tells us. But I don't know. If Ayuk's out there, let me put it to you this way. When age is considered, I would trade Steph Diggs for either one of those guys straight up if it was up to me. So if you use the draft capital that you acquired in a Steph Diggs trade to go get either one of those players, I would say that's a win for Buffalo because I think they're, again, considering age, upgrading at the position. So yeah. The jury's still out for me on Buffalo in this draft. And I know they've been getting poo-pooed on because they traded with the Chiefs and all that stuff. I'm not ready to declare anything after day one with Buffalo because I still think their plan could be coming into place a little bit, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I think we haven't seen the true idea of what it is they're trying to do in this draft.
I mean, as of now, is anybody thinking that Buffalo will be able to at least make the playoffs next year? I mean, I have a hard time.
Make the playoffs, even sure. Looking they have Josh Allen as their quarterback.
They have nobody else. They have nobody else. Who else do they have?
Gabe Davis didn't give them anything anyway. Right now, they've lost Steph Diggs, and they can replace Steph Diggs. I mean, they can. They've got John. They look at the tight ends.
With the defensive
they have
unit,
there.
That's another year older. You sure. know, I just I think like they're. It's hard because I understand that you've got kind of this. At least it looks like indications of some kind of rebuild. But if you're gonna rebuild, you have to go fully into rebuild mode. I think
not when
some
you have
of the
Josh
worst,
Allen as your quarterback.
But I think some of the, and I'm not, you don't move away from a franchise quarterback like that. But what I'm saying is that I think one of the biggest issues that teams have sometimes, some of the worst decisions are when they halfway rebuild while halfway trying to compete right now, then they don't do either one very well, and then it just kicks the can down the road. If you're the Buffalo Bills, I think you got to commit one way or the other.
I don't agree with that when you have your quarterback, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you a couple examples. Aaron Rodgers is one for sure that immediately jumps to my head. You get the luxury of being able to compete while you're rebuilding when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, that's the beauty of having Josh Allen, is you're never going to have to go through like a total blow it up Carolina Panthers level rebuild when Josh Allen is your quarterback. You're going to be competitive when he's under center, no matter what else is on the roster. So unless they traded Josh Allen, there's nothing they're going to do that's a total rebuild. And I just don't think they're done yet with the draft. Again, this could be as simple as they just like some of the receivers that they could go get on day two. Could be that simple. Or they're loading up to do something bigger, and the Niners just sit there to me as a team that's like, huh. But the only thing, I mean, the Niners want to trade one of those guys. They almost have to now because of the contract situation. I mean, I'm sure they would love to just load up with this talent, but they can't afford it. So let's go to day two for the Chiefs. We talked about what they should do. Again, I'm going to give you some of the day two picks in recent years for the Chiefs. Day two, rounds two and three, right? And I don't know when they exactly shifted to that, so we'll just call it the middle rounds, right? We'll call it 2-3, and I'm going to include 4 here, Tommy, because they've had so much success in that round. Last year, day two, or the middle rounds, rounds 2, 3, and 4, they were able to land Rashee Rice and Wanya Morris. In the middle rounds in 2022, it was Sky Moore, jury's out, right? But Brian Cook and Leo Chenal were in that range. Very nice. And we'll see on Joshua Williams. He may get, you know, he may get a bigger role this year. So again, nice job in the middle rounds. The year before that, Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, both in the middle rounds. If you include round 5 there, you've got Noah Gray also in the mix, who's been a handy player. Year before that, Tommy, Willie Gay Jr., Lucas Niang, Legarius Sneed, Michael Dana in those rounds. This is where the Chiefs have built their dynasty. Outside of Mahomes, right now is why they've been able to sustain the roster losses, all the different things, is because they have been so successful in these rounds at evaluating players. And here we go again. They've got a pretty good opportunity to do that. Let's look at what they've got left, because I haven't actually done that since they've made all these trades. So let me just see what they have here. I'm going to pull that up right now. They have currently, they have kept their second, Tommy, and it's where it originally was. So they'll pick, you know, the last round, last pick of the second round. They lose their third altogether at this point. They have now 2 fourth-round picks and 2 fifth-round picks. Is that enough ammo to move up in the second round? It probably is. You know, if they wanted to give up one of those fourths and one of those fifths to move up in the second, not to the top of the second by any means, that would take future picks at this point. They probably, though, can move around a little bit, but they have, you know, 4-5 picks in these middle rounds we're talking about to do some damage. And so if they just stand pat and pick in all their spots, I think you like their chances to land at least one more useful player, if not two.
Yeah. I don't think they're probably going to trade up again, at least in the second round. That would surprise me if they did, because I know that one of the things that Brett Veach values is quantity of picks. And, you know, the fact that they've got 2 fourths and 2 fifths, you know, you can make an impact, I think, in both of those rounds. And I don't know if Brett Veach would be interested in sacrificing that quantity in both of those rounds to move up a few spots in the second. Maybe he would. But I think that it'd have to blow them away. I would be surprised to see them trade up. I think they'll probably, in my opinion, stick with their original second round pick and then just wait for the fourth round to come around and then the fifth round. And then at that point, you know, get your total draft class and feel pretty good about it.
If they like the left tackle, I don't care if they trade every pick in the rest of this draft and go get it. You know what I mean? I know that's ridiculous. What? They're obviously not going to do that. They're not going to do that. What I'm saying is, I think they are so fine on the roster that if they blow up the rest of the draft to some degree, because again, And this is the if they love a tackle, you know, if they've evaluated this guy and they know they have to move up to get him, the way that they evaluate linemen in this range, I'm fine with them doing that. I don't think they'll have to, because I think if they loved a player that much, they probably would have just taken him in the first round, right?
Yep.
So something like that would come a little later anyway. But just the beauty for the Chiefs now is they have a lot of picks in their wheelhouse here with five. And they just really don't need much else on the roster. There's not like a glaring hole. Not that there was really coming in. They need a left tackle for next year. Does it have to come through the draft? Not necessarily. You know, a project left tackle might make some sense to me with Wanya Morse, but you'd have to go out in free agency. But now they don't have to go out in free agency, Tommy, and take a receiver. Right. So probably that's coming. I think you're absolutely right there. They got a lot of options, and they've got a lot of options with the part of the draft they've been really, really, really good at lately. And, you know, to move up and get the wide receiver they really liked, to still have five picks in rounds 2 through 5. I think that's you couldn't have drawn it up much better for the Chiefs. Now, whether Worthy works out or not, we'll find out. But as far as like strategy of the draft, I feel like this is probably exactly what they, you know, had the intent of and designs of doing before they came in the room.
Yeah, a first-round pick is a first-round pick, and it's valuable. There's no doubt about that. But historically, you know, I think the thought has always been, you pick at the very end of the first round. I mean, it's great you won a Super Bowl or you were, you know, deep in the playoffs or whatever, but not super impactful all the time. No, I think it's gotten to the point now where it absolutely is. And the Chiefs did what they needed to do to get better in an area they needed for sure to get better in the first round. Now they still have five remaining picks, and they can still go out there and, I think, improve themselves today and into tomorrow.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There's one more player out there. Cooper DeJean's still out there. There's no way he falls very far, I don't think, here. I'm surprised he's still there. Man. That's another player where it's like, fits a need, do you trade up? They're just in a good position today. They did a really, really good job yesterday. We'll come back. I want to get your take. Were there any picks you loved or hated? We talked about the quarterbacks, obviously. And I also want to
talk about the Royals, by the way.
Ken. They won the series. We'll get it. We'll get some Royals talk in here, too. It's NFL draft day. Here we go. Royals, listen, Royals are awesome. We'll get them. We'll get it all in. We'll cram it in on this Friday. Sports Daily coming right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here. So, Tommy, we know where all the quarterbacks are. which one's landing spot, likelihood of success, all of that do you like the most? We know it's not Bo Nix for you. It's not for me either. But now that we know where they are, what do you think?
I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a superstar in Washington. I love that pick. I think he's going to be great. I mean, Caleb Williams is the easy answer for sure. But it's for me, it's probably Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it's Caleb Williams for me. No doubt about it. I think Drake May is going to have the toughest time, really, of all of them, quite honestly, because I think he's in the worst situation roster-wise. But Caleb Williams with Adunze there now. The Bears are doing this right. After a lot of years of not doing it right, man, they are just saying, we're taking this quarterback of the future, and we are going to help him succeed. And to hell with everything else, right? Like, they've got DJ Moore there. They've got Keenan Allen there. Now they've got Rome Odunze there, which is going to be good for Rome Odunze's development. Like, love it. Caleb Williams is in a perfect spot, and so is J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy is probably the one to look at for Rookie of the Year consideration, I would think. Caleb Williams won't give you enough odds on that, but, I mean, you walk into a room with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson, a good offensive line, and a great quarterback coach. J.J. McCarthy's got to be thrilled here about that. Any other picks that, you know, outside of the, you know, the headline ones, the quarterbacks, that you just didn't like, that you were like, what are they thinking there? I don't think I had any. Did you?
The only one that comes to mind for me, I don't love the Brock Bowers pick for the Raiders. I love Brock Bowers. I think he's incredible.
Yeah.
But who's going to throw him the ball? And I know that at that point, the Broncos had taken Bo Nix, and so there really weren't any other quarterbacks that were available. But they've got to get that addressed because, I mean, you're going to roll into another year with Aiden O'Connell. I mean, that doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence.
I agree. I think they probably just at that point got screwed on quarterback and said, let's just take our best player on the board.
That's what that pick.
Well, no, I mean, I'm sure they had Brock Bowers graded highly, right? And maybe they did try to trade down and everyone's like, now we're good. I think they probably lost the day in the sense that they didn't end up with any of the quarterbacks. And I think they really wanted one. I think Penix kind of cost them there. I liked what the Cowboys did. I liked what the Ravens did. But you know, nothing to me was just like, I cannot believe they did that. Except the Falcons was the most head scratching to me. All right. Royals talk real quick. They get it done. It is now on to Detroit. It was a weird day. They didn't know if they were going to finish the game. They finally decide not to. So it's a quick turnaround, though, because it was a getaway day, and now they got to play at noon today, Tommy.
Yeah, I like it, though. I mean, the fact that they didn't have to sit around and wait for the game to be resumed and all of that. I mean, it was just called. It was able to be an official game.
No, they did have to sit around and wait. They waited for three hours.
But what I'm saying is they didn't have to sit around and wait to get back on the field and finish playing a game and then go.
Got it.
Like, they sat around and waited. Then they just called the game and everybody left. So it could have been worse in that scenario. It was, you know, they called it as an official game. They get the win. They take the series from the Blue Jays. Much needed after dropping the opening game. They've won three in a row. Once again, on, you know, a really bad weather day, pitching was pretty solid. Cole Reagans probably pitched his best game of the season so far in a shortened game. Don't get me wrong.
He still got through six innings.
But yeah, now you get to go to Detroit. You get Seth Lugo on the bump with a day game today to keep things rolling. I'm not really necessarily concerned about the turnaround time right now, but this is exactly what the Royals needed.
Tommy, if Salvi is going to be what he has started this season being, I don't know. Salvi's already a Hall of Famer. He's only 34 years old. I am not certain that we have seen the final evolutions of Salvador Perez as a hitter. I think he's got two or three years here as he sort of steps away to a smaller degree from catching, that he does something like we've seen so many guys do, you know, David Ortiz, Nelson Cruz. Like, some of these guys jump to mind as dudes that can hit can play in this game for a long, long time. Like, what kind of numbers by the end of this could we potentially be challenging for Salvador Perez? Is 500 home runs on the table for him?
I think being able to be one of, if not the greatest catcher of all time, is definitely on the table right now. By the way, I just want to point out, if the Royals can keep winning games when they're only scoring two or three runs a game, it's remarkable. It's incredible. Pitching's been great.
I agree. And it's good to see him bounce back because they had a little shaky couple of games there. But we'll have much more on the Royals after this weekend series because the Tigers look like they're going to be contenders in the Central. It's another just massive series on the road. We'll see if they can get it done. We'll tell you about those games when you can hear them right here on KFH as we get you primed for the weekend next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.